Okay, we have Hilchos Tevilas Kelim. We're up to Zion. We rarely learned the preliminaries, the idea of ownership, what constitutes ownership by a guy and ownership by a yid. Now we get to the halachas of the Kelim themselves. Zayin. Kiva dolei tzarech tefila ela klei suda. Okay, it's very basic that you only have to tevil kelim that are used in a meal. And for that reason, lachein im shayel ay secher keli minachri ein tzarech tefila. If you borrow or rent a keli from a guy, you don't have to tevil. The sequence is a little ambiguous. Not sure how that follows exactly. But the halach is clear. Let's say somebody buys a knife from a guy, but he doesn't want to use it for meals. He wants it for food. He wants to use it in the yard. He's using a knife, but he's going to use it, a pocket knife. He's going to use it to, for some reason we're kids, we used to use pocket knives to strip the bark off trees. What? Is that what we did it for? I couldn't figure out why we're doing it. Yeah. Okay. So we used to use it for that type of thing. So it's, if it's not being used for food, or the sacking kulmus, or if you have a quill, every time you use a quill, the edges of it become soft from the ink, and you have to cut it down a little bit. Even though the manufacturer might have manufactured it for purposes of food, you don't have to table it if you purchase it for a non-food tzarech. Outside of knives, I can't think of anything else that is that way.
I just bought a scooper.
Ice cream scooper?
I don't like candy, jelly beans, and all nuts.
Oh, scooper, jelly bean scooper.
I have a 20-pound bag of salt.
Yeah.
Put it into a smaller thing.
Oh, salt to use for your, for the ice. Okay, that's a good example. So you didn't table a scooper. Okay. So if you have a pocket knife that you're using for other things and you want to use it occasionally for food, you're not allowed to use it. Or if you bought something for food, as long as you're using it for klafim, it's okay. Now here there is an exception. If I have a friend who bought a knife and the owner is using it for non-food purposes, and then I borrow the knife to use to cut food, so the owner is what determines and not the person who borrows it, and therefore it's not an issue. If you want to take a paper clip and open it to stick into a piece of watermelon to eat, you have to have the paper clip. Huh? What? Never thought of it. It's have a toothpick, yeah. I'm sticking it to the herring. So, okay, but things that are made, generally we understand things that you're going to throw out on that kelim. But okay, this is an example. Well, if you designate it for food, it would. We don't designate paper clips for food. I'm just desperately trying to think of some example.
Aluminum pans.
Aluminum pans. Well, aluminum pans, that's because aluminum pans are disposables, and we have our idea that disposable utensils are not kelim. I mentioned many times that somebody uses disposable cups to make kiddush on or to use for washing and then doesn't tevil as aluminum pans is a contradiction. Now, if you don't tevil the aluminum pans because you go with the shita that disposables are not kelim, if that's the case, it's hard to justify using the kelim for kiddush. Rav Moshe writes that b'shas hadchak you could use it for kiddush. I'm not sure how that follows. Unless you titled it, right.
What about a hammer for a coconut?
A hammer for a coconut. That's a good example. When he's a hammer, you bite into the coconut? You shred the coconut?
You have a coconut. You want to break it.
Right. Are you going to eat the coconut?
No, you have to cut the fridge. It's three holes. You have to perforate all three holes in order
for it to sprout. But it's a chisel, not a hammer that goes into it.
It comes with three holes.
Yeah, come to three holes.
It grows with three holes.
Right?
It grows, a coconut grows. It grows, a coconut
those
grows.
Three potential holes that have to be perforated with like a screwdriver or something.
Oh, really?
So you can use a chisel, then the chisel, does the chisel have to be tight?
That's very interesting. You use a chisel to open it. Well, if you're going to eat the coconut, you're right. Do you eat coconut? What do you do with it?
Once I remember many years ago.
Yeah, okay. All right, it's a good example. Now, if you're cracking nuts with a hammer, it's not an issue because the hammer is made to hit the shell. And the rule in Tefillas Kelim is that it's only if the keli is made to come into contact with food.
Oh.
If you have a can opener, even though when you press it in, it might touch the food, but it's not made. It's made to cut the can. Well, the chisel is made to hit the coconut. You can actually eat the coconut. Yeah,
you don't eat coconuts. You cut that with a knife. The inside, with the white part, you carve away with a knife.
You eat it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's an example. All right, so this is the rule for... Yeah, Rav Moshe says it doesn't mean use it once. You can use it numerous times. As long as it gets... it becomes more battered as it's used. What? Baking pans. Even if you use it numerous times, it's peiches v'haylach. As you use it, it loses its newness. That's a disposable keli. It gets beat up as it's used. If you're going to use a disposable keli to hold jelly beans so that doesn't get ruined, then you have to tivel it. But if you use it to bake, so after a couple of times, it gets beat up. Okay.
So baking pan can't be used for watermelon. You have to tivel it. Not baking pan, the aluminum thing.
Aluminum thing. If you're going to throw it out, then it's not an issue. If you
eventually get thrown out.
Something, Ramesh writes in his Truva that he doesn't mean you use it once and throw it out. He means it's used, it's made to be used, and it gets ruined after a couple of times. I mean, you wash it out once, twice, three times. Ches, Yisrael Shekana Kli Menachri, Vishilay Lechaveirai. Now, if you borrow a keli from a guy, you don't have to tivel it, because it's a guy's keli. A Jew who purchased the keli from a guy, so now needs tefillah. Vishilay lechaveray. Now, for the chaver, it's a borrowed keli, which normally doesn't need tefillah, but since it's borrowed from a yid, asal l'shtamish by achiyatul shakar neschayev biyadarishin. The Jewish purchaser was already mechayev in tefillah. Aval marishin lekanal tzarchei suda. If the first person bought it, elalachdech klafu kiyaitza by he bought it as a pocket knife by the schayra. So this comes, here's the issue of schayra of stores. If it's bought by the first person to resell, I have a store and I buy kelim to sell, not to use. Shaharei im lo yishtamish by tzarchei suda, ain't tzarech tvila. Therefore, the owner, he's not going to use it for tzarchei suda. He doesn't have to tivel it. L'cheinim, hishtal l'chaveirai. Vasheni writes, yishtamish by tzarchei suda. If the is lending it to someone else and he's not going to use it for food, yeshayimim de ain't tzarech tvila. Kivin shigamhu like kana lachalutim elabitarishai. Well, if you're renting it permanently for food is one thing. But if you have it for klei schayra, if you have it to sell, you have a store, and somebody wants to borrow it or even rent it at one time, is to give it back to you to sell, that's klei schayra.
Well, that's a business. Renting out.
Yeah, they have business that rents. That's klei
schayra.
I assume that that's klei suda. It's made to just to be used. So that it's made to be sold is different. Now the truth is that the shita, I believe it's the Yad David, that the world relies on holds that restaurants or caterers that have kelim don't have to tivel it because for the owner it's not klei suda. For the owner it's klei schaira, something with which he does business. It's brought in the Daki Tshuva. The Taz brings this idea. This Rechachosan comes from the Taz. The Taz brings the idea that Klei Schayra Apata, but he means that the owner has it to sell it, not to run a restaurant, to run to use all the time.
Well, he doesn't rent it. He is.
So that, I guess that's similar to the restaurant. Where
no,
there's a sheet of...
Less.
What?
The restaurant, they're eating in my restaurant. Whereas I'm renting it, that's Pashit Schayra.
There are kelim that you have to sell, and there are kelim that you have to be used as a food, to be used for food. I would think once it becomes clay.
I'm not ready.
All right, that's the Yad David. The Yad David says this. It's an interpretation of the Taz. It's not just the Yad David, who's not such a well-known Pesach. His interpretation of the Taz is that it includes restaurants. And I think most of the world is naive to be made. A few Achsherim, including Kilo, that are makbid that they table.
Is this, are we talking about Chiyuv on the Gavra or the Chefza?
It's a Chiyuv on the Chefza. But the Chefza has to be defined.
But what does it make a difference who's using it?
But the chefetz has to be defined, and it's defined by its owner. If I own a pocket knife and I'm using it for Boy Scout purposes, then it's not a klei suda. Even if you borrow my pocket knife and use it to cut cake, it's still defined by its owner. The type of keli is defined by its owner. Yeah, well, he brings the yeshayrim that shatzar tefila b'lay bracha. He doesn't hold bechlal of klei suda. By glass is the rabbanim, metal is the raisa. So he's saying is that by glass kalim you could be makel. By metal kalim, which is the raisa, you really should be machmir and not rely on it. Who was I told? I forgot. Somebody told me about a certain. The Talmud Chacham, then he goes out to eat out in the restaurant, he brings along his own cutlery. He brings his own fork and knife and spoon. Because metal, he wants to be machmir, he doesn't rely on it, they don't table it. It's hard to walk in with plates and glasses, but cutlery is doable. So, he walks in with his own cutlery. I forgot who it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't he go to a restaurant? He likes going to a restaurant. Why shouldn't he go? Well, some are sharing a makrin, some are not makrin. Years ago, there was no such thing as being machmir. What does one have to do with the other? What does one have to do with the other? Okay. Sif Tess. Ein sort tefila ala mashe degea b'maychal atzmai. When these tefilas only that touches the food. Right, this is a heta for the shechita knife not needing tefillah. Shechita knife touches the food when it's not edible. What? It was not edible. So therefore, he's saying here that only thing that needs tefillah, something that touches the food when it's roi la'achila, the metal, the rollers that they use to roll out the dough, v'shechaitchem by ha'isa, that they cut the dough, shemenakrim by ha'areveis, v'shemesaknim by ha'krepluch, v'akichaluch, v'amachte shetachem by mulyaisa, or the knives that they use to stitch up a stuffed chicken, koze ein sarach tefila klal. It doesn't need tefila, because these things touch the food when they're not edible. So most things, I shouldn't say not edible, not normal to eat, because cookie dough is technically edible. But nobody eats cookie dough. And therefore, when it touches it as a dough, it's potter. Aval, sakin shel shechita. The sakin used to shecht, the sakin shel meshita bay. And the knife they used to skin the animals, kivan de efshel l'shem shem l'maychel acher tzarch tefila b'lay bracha. Now the language is misleading. It says kivan de efshel. What it says is kiva shadarka, the shechit, he's got his handy knife, a shechita knife, after he washes it off, he wants to cut himself a piece of sponge cake, he's gonna use it. So, it's used there also.
He wouldn't use it with a collar. He wouldn't.
You know, dollars knife, a piece of sponge cake? I don't know how hard your sponge cake is, but, Okay. So, to cut a brownie bar, maybe. But anyway, look, I say they use it today, but we live in a society with plenty. With plenty, we have plenty of everything. But they don't have plenty of everything. What? Yeah, I don't think he's going to damage it. All right. The dreifus, shami midu lav hakedera. The dreifus is the equivalent of what we have on the stove top, the grates that we put the pot on. So that grate, no one ever titles it, doesn't need tefillah. Eitzar tefillah, doesn't touch the food. Aval shpud shel mateches shetzaylin alav, but a spit they stick into the food to rotate the food on the fire. Sarach tefila bebracha. Maybe when you stick the spit in, it's not edible, but as it bakes, it becomes edible. Not sure what that is. It needs tefila. Anything that where the food becomes edible, at that point, it does need tefila. So, the grill and a barbecue certainly needs tefila. You have to have the whole barbecue, but the grill itself has to be tevil. Whatever comes into contact with the food itself has to be tevil. Now here is an interesting subcipher. Subcipher has notes on Yeridaya. He says that only something that comes into direct contact with the food, not secondary contact. He says the parsha of tevilin kalim and the parsha of kashrin kalim is in the same parsha, Matais. And just if something which touches something else in a manner that it was hot would give a blia. When it's cold, it needs tefillah. In other words, something that comes into direct contact with the food. If you have something which, let's say you have, remember the old, we used to go get a Coke in the store. They used to have these little stands, and you put your triangular cup into it. You know what I'm talking about? The paper cups. You used to stick it into the metal stand that held the cup. The old Solo cups were like that. So that holder doesn't touch the food. It holds the food, but only with something in between, with a layer in between, so that doesn't need tefillah. The question is, something which has a layer of parchment paper in between, like our pans in which we bake, or a cupcake holder in which you put a cupcake, paper, into it, and then you pour the batter into that. The food is not made to come into contact with the outside keli. The pashtus is that it should need tefillah. The food doesn't touch it. The question is, if it's something that is flimsy enough that we would be concerned with blias going through it, going through paper, whether that's something that would require tefillah or not, not so clear. The issue of the bakery pans, in a professional bakery, there's nothing really that comes into contact with the food when it's edible, because the last thing they do is bake it. Everything else, they prepare it. So the mixer, they mix a batter, and they, everything they do, then they put it in, they bake it. When they bake it, it's in a pan, but there's always some parchment paper of some sort in between. And, it may well be that there's really nothing there that actually has to be titled. But, nothing has to be titled. So that's this Hagdara, this exception of Kalim that need Fila, something that comes into contact only with the food itself. A corkscrew, for example, doesn't need Fila. A corkscrew is made to come into contact with the cork, not with the wine. It may incidentally touch the wine, but it's made to touch the cork. And a corkscrew doesn't require Fila. A nutcracker, remember we used to have, once upon a time, they used to grow nuts with shells. And nutcrackers don't need tefillah. They're made to crack the shell. They may incidentally touch the nut, but they're not made for it, and therefore it doesn't need tefillah. Now there is a question regarding a toaster oven. The toaster oven, the tray touches the food. You put a bagel in, it touches the tray. The tray, depending on the toaster oven, is removable and can be tefilled separately. And therefore it would seem that it would be enough to table just the tray itself. But the issue is that pot covers need tefillah as well. The language of the Gra, a cover of a pot doesn't touch food. Why do you have to table it? The Gra's lashon is because the zeya, the steam, comes into contact with the pot cover. And in the halachas of bliyos, if you have fleshing a pot cover, it becomes fleshes because the steam comes into contact with it. And therefore, the issue in a toaster oven is whether the entire toaster oven has to be tevil. At what point do you say it's the oven? Every oven. We don't tevil our ovens. We tevil, right, because we put our food in a pot. Even though the steam hits the top of the oven, no one says you have to tevil the oven. It's not a pot cover. At what point does a toaster oven become a pot cover, not a pot cover? In the case of a small toaster oven, it's a debated issue. And Rav Palm told people they don't have to tovel the entire toaster oven. And later I saw, because my chavrus and I argued about it. Yeah, I got married that summer. We learned Hagala and Tefillah. I was in the city, and we had an argument about whether you have to tovel the whole toaster oven or not. Rav Palm said that it's enough to tovel the tray. Later, the Sefer Tefillas Kelim came out, and he had at the end, in the first print, I don't know where it is today, he had at the end a few tshuvas of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman said you have to tovel the entire toaster oven. It's like a pot cover. And why do I remember it? Because I was wrong, and then I was right. So, you know, I had no way to remember things better than to get an argument with your chavrusa. You know, it's so you remember it.
It's a microwave.
I don't think people table their microwaves. So, I don't know. The question is at what point becomes a box, and what point it's a pot. It's hard to know.